In the name of the one who gave his life on Calvary, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I don't know about you, but if I were someone who was visiting here today and I came in and heard that gospel lesson read, I'd say, well, what exactly did I sign up for in coming here today? The gospel this morning that Olivia just read is perhaps among the hardest passages in Scripture to hear and understand and live out. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Now, without fail, when I ask this question, what does it look like to follow Jesus? In a class or a baptismal preparation or a small group setting, about three quarters of the time, the response I get to the question is this. To follow Jesus means to be a good person, to be kind. I ask parents the same thing. What do you want your kids to learn coming to church week after week? To be a good person and to be kind. Well, Jesus challenges our good intentions to be good Christians today with some of the scariest things he's ever said. One, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Two, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And then three, so therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up everything you have, all of your possessions. Welcome to our one service and potluck day. Here's what following Jesus looks like. This is something we don't often visit ourselves, let alone tell our children. Sooner or later, every follower of Jesus has to do something hard. But it's true. We need to know it, and our children need to know it. Following Jesus is not just about being nice, and I'd say it's usually not about being sweet. It's about loving people, even enemies, and forgiving people who do awful things to you and the people you love. And taking care of people who are not nice to you. Disciples of Jesus Christ must be brave and strong, because being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. And we're going to be exploring in 2 weeks as a community in the Rector's Book Club, the book Knowing Jesus in Your Life. And the first step in the way of love is to turn. In that text we're reading, Knowing Jesus in Your Life, Carol Anderson, the former rector of the last parish I served, wrote, "To be a follower of Jesus is a radical step. It is not to be religious. It is to have a relationship with a person who, in fact, calls into question everything about our lives and who turns us around and moves us in directions that go against all the world thinks is important." Jesus is saying this to massive crowds of people who are compelled by what he's been doing. He's been healing the sick, casting away things that are evil, and offering this incredibly compelling teaching. You don't want to miss what Jesus is going to do next. What they don't know is that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, where his fate is on the cross of Calvary. He's going to be tried there soon for blasphemy and treason. He's going to be executed for his claims. He's asking these followers in this time and place, and he's asking us, I believe, too, have you counted the cost of following me? Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So what does that mean as a church? Our church, whose name reveres the hill upon which Jesus died on the cross. Today is the day when we as a Calvary community have designated to get together as one worshiping community. In most Episcopal churches, there is this annual feast called the Patronal Feast. It's for the parish on the day designated by its name. So for instance, St. Timothy's on the other side of town would celebrate their feast on the day designated to celebrate St. Timothy. That's January 26th. On September 14th is Holy Cross Day. And for a church that has Calvary as its name, having a feast on the fast day of Good Friday is not very fun, inappropriate. So we have our feast day on Holy Cross Day, the most appropriate day for the feast. And Howard sent me a little warning when he sent me the hymns this week. He said, we'll see how these land on the entire community of Calvary, because they cut right to the core of Christian discipleship. Some of the lyrics of the hymns we're singing are ones I encourage you to wrestle with, because I know I have wrestled with some of these lyrics. The one I've grappled with the most is from Lift High the Cross. There have been times when I wish the church would just do away with some of these verses, with their militaristic imagery in the hymnody. Especially this, led on their way by this triumphant sign, the hosts of God in conquering ranks combine. But what does it look like when we really live that out? What does it look like to conquer evil with love in the way that Jesus did? Jesus showed us by taking up his cross that it was actually the opposite of physically annihilating the enemy. This was rather the ultimate cosmic yet utterly personal battle of good versus evil, exemplified by Jesus pouring out his life, not fighting back. It sounds reassuring if this is what taking up a cross looks like, to be with other people, the hosts of God, committed to conquering evil, being the conquering ranks, sacrificing and loving in a way that empties ourselves. So I'd like to give you a modern day example of what this looks like. I became much more familiar this week, actually this past spring, when I traveled to Gethsemane Abbey with a man named Jonathan Myrick Daniels. In the late 1950s, Jonathan was in high school, where he began to question his religious faith during his sophomore year, possibly because that was the year his father died, and his sister Emily suffered from an extended illness at the same time. Jonathan then went on to graduate as valedictorian of his class at Virginia Military Institute, and then he went on to study English literature in college. And on Easter 1962, he found himself in the Episcopal Church. He found himself with a renewed conviction of being called to serve God. So then Jonathan entered the Episcopal Theological Seminary at Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1963. He was expected to graduate in 1966. And in March 1965, Jonathan answered the call of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to join the movement in Selma, Alabama, for voters' rights. Jonathan had planned to go with his seminary classmates for an exciting, exhilarating weekend away. He wound up returning to seminary and requesting the rest of the semester off to join the work in Selma. Jonathan journaled, "I could not stand by in benevolent dispassion any longer without compromising everything I know and love and value." There, Jonathan started bringing his African-American friends to the local Episcopal church, where they did not receive a warm welcome. but he helped integrate the Episcopal Church anyway. It was on August 14, 1965, that Daniels was one of 29 protesters, including members of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, who picketed a whites-only store in an Alabama town. All of the protesters, including Jonathan, were arrested, and they were transported to the nearby jail in a garbage truck. They were held there for 6 days in a facility in the middle of August with no air conditioning. And the authorities refused to accept bail for anyone until everyone was bailed. So finally, everyone was released on August 20th, where the prisoners were released without transportation. So this group of 29 was waiting near the courthouse jail while someone called to get a ride, and they appointed Jonathan and three others, a white Catholic priest and two black women, and he with them walked to buy soft drinks for everyone at Varner's Cash Store. Varner's Cash Store was one of the few local places they knew would serve non-whites. At the storefront stood an unpaid special deputy who greeted them at the door holding a shotgun in his hand. The deputy threatened the group and then leveled the gun to the youngest in the group, 17-year-old Ruby Sales. Jonathan pushed Ruby down and caught the full blast of the shotgun. Upon learning of what happened to Jonathan, Martin Luther King Jr. stated that one of the most heroic Christian deeds of which I have heard in my entire ministry was performed by Jonathan Daniels. What does it mean to take up the cross and follow Jesus? First, it means being called to unexpected places and showing up, if even for the weekend. It could mean getting rounded up and riding in garbage trucks with unexpected friends. And it can mean unflinchingly laying down our lives for our friends. And it always means acting as believers in Jesus' transforming love. Jonathan Daniels' willingness to follow Jesus, it resulted in greater freedom, greater equality, greater hope for the nation and the world. Ruby Sales went on to attend Episcopal Seminary too at Cambridge. And today she's 71 years old. And she works as a human rights advocate in Washington, D.C. She founded an inner city mission dedicated to Jonathan. Now, as I finished writing this sermon, I found the account of this day in a blog online that she just wrote a few days ago. But that firsthand account of Jonathan's martyrdom and her survival is not appropriate for me to read in front of these children. So I will, I'll post it on Facebook if you'd like to read it, or just let me know via email if you're not able to access Facebook. And I'm happy to share it with you. I think everyone in this room, for everyone in this room, it should be required reading Ruby Sales' blog from this week. Emily Towns writes, "At the heart of discipleship is transformation. The cost of discipleship is not just becoming accumulators of new information about life and living it fully, or even changing our behavior in regard to Jesus' teachings. The cost is engaging in a radically profound shift toward the ethics of Jesus with every fiber of our beings. There is no driftwood in discipleship. And we are called to live lives of complete devotion to God." Jesus reminds us in today's passage from Luke that following him means we cannot be shallow or uncommitted believers. The adjectives simply do not fit the noun. So as we celebrate Holy Cross Day, the feast of Calvary Church, I urge us to each pray about, think about, feel out what it means to live as people utterly devoted to God in the person of Jesus. When you come forward to receive Christ's body and blood, remember every week we are continuously coming forward and committing to being disciples. We're being fed by the hope of the resurrection. And we're being empowered by this sacrament to live this hope of resurrection in the world. So those strong, challenging words Jesus speaks today remind us that the transformation, the salvation of the world comes with a cost. Are we prepared to follow anyway? Amen.